Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of Bear Belief. Hello, Jessica.
Yo, G-Dog, what's up?
G-Dog, oh my god. Wow, this is what you get for talking about Eminem 10 seconds before we start recording. So
I thought I'd change it up.
Yeah, no, why not? So G-Dog here. So how's my J-Dog doing?
I'm barking.
You're barking? Okay.
Or maybe that's what we'll do by the end of this podcast.
You'll never know. All right, so today we have as a topic, we're going to talk about St. Valentine's Day. It's right around the corner. I know, Jessica, you have your lovely hubby at home. I have my cats, which is not quite the same. So do you guys do anything for St. Valentine's Day? Like, what is it? What is it for you?
Nothing.
Really?
No. Like, not nothing. Like, he'll put some effort into it, but he really doesn't like the Hallmark holidays, right? So it sort of took a little bit to do that. But we've had, in the past, have had, like, fun with it. So one of our, I think it was maybe our second or third Valentine's Day, we were going to the mall to watch 50 First Dates. And, right, now I'm dating myself. And we were walking from the bus, and I was just like, I don't know how we got onto it, but I was like, if I do a cartwheel in the mall, would you buy me a ring? Kind of thing, like the ring. And he's like, yeah, I dare you. Like, he didn't think I would do it at all. So because the family jeweler was near the exit where we were going in, or entrance. So we went in and I go into the store and they're like, can we help you? I'm like, yeah. So my boyfriend's dared me. And if I do a cartwheel, I get a ring, you know? And they're like, the ring? I'm like, the ring. Well, doesn't the girl go into the back to get the rings, right? Like those big chunko, like diamond rings. So anyways, we're you know, there's all this hype. I go into the hallway. And I do a cartwheel, but I had like the really big winter boots and I'm not the most graceful anyway. And so I did it. So then everybody's like staring at Pat and was just like, so are you going to like buy this ring? And he's like, and I'm like, we're going to think about it. So we walk out and then we're like going to this movie. So it's at the opposite end of the mall, if you know Angry Aunt Mall. And we pass some of his football buddies, right? They're like, Gilby, what's up? How you doing? And he's like, I have to buy my girlfriend a ring. And he was like all pale and stuff. And they're like,
how old are you at this
point? Okay, so I met him at 24, so maybe 26.
God, poor guy.
Right? And so his friends are like, good luck with that. And they sort of look at me and I'm like, I have no idea what he's talking about, right? So, but to this day, he'll always say, I didn't do the cartwheel, right? Yeah. So no, I reneged on the bet.
You blame the boots and he blames the fact you didn't do your cartwheel.
No, and I'm like, he'll do gestures, but I think like he makes more of an effort throughout.
Yeah.
You know, and then so we'll buy little chocolates or something like that. We might go for dinner, but it's, there's not the emotional baggage around it for us.
I think that's good.
It is. You know, in the beginning, you kind of like, hey, what are we doing? You know, and
yeah.
But there is this pressure, you know, but yeah, he'll make an effort. But I've had to learn to just not.
Is that something that bothers you? Like, I don't, cause.
At the beginning it did. Because you have the whole Cinderella idea of love, right? Like, oh.
But we're brainwashed.
To do that. Exactly. And this is what you want a guy to be. And this is what Mr. Charming's going to do. And, but I was never materialistic. Like, I don't need the spa days. I don't need that. You know what? Just call me or send me a cute little text. Like, just pretend you actually think about me for 2 minutes in your day, you know? And I'm sure he does, but, you know, so, but now I think love changes as you grow.
Yeah, it evolves.
And how you express that and how you like it, like, yeah, it's a deep partnership now. I mean, we've both been jerks throughout our marriages and whatnot, and we've had to work through stuff. And it's definitely not what that young love was. I don't think we would have survived if we were still in that stage.
Well, it had you. That's how you survive.
You do
evolve it. You have to. So for me, it's a little similar, I think. So my last relationship, I was with the guy for 10 years, and I'm pretty sure he comes from the same religion, or at least his parents did. So he did not grow up celebrating anything, like not even his birthday, and that's a whole thing we could unpack for days. But which meant that. Holidays were never significant within that relationship, and that included St. Valentine's Day. Most of those holidays, I don't give a crap about. Like, I never, like, we didn't really exchange Christmas gifts. We didn't really do birthday things. Because our philosophy was, if you're giving me a gift because the world is telling you that today is gift-giving day, like, what does that gift actually mean, right? So we were really good at giving each other gifts or tokens of appreciation or marks of affection all throughout the year. And I think over time, I definitely grew to appreciate that a whole lot more. But there's something about St. Valentine's Day that stung if it was completely ignored. Like, there's something about, and that probably says more about me than, like, the world. But, like, and it bothers me a lot more when I'm single. So this year will be Valentine's Day number two as a single guy. And it does annoy me. It annoys me really bad. So
do you think people are more annoying on that day?
I don't know.
Like your couple friends?
I think so. I don't think people are overtly, I can think of a couple that I know who are just like that all the time. So I don't think it changes for them. Because it's Valentine's Day, like, they're just like, oh yeah, here they go again.
Yeah.
So, and this year I solved that problem because I blocked them both off of Facebook. So that will not happen anymore. They annoyed me last fall and I was like, you know what? Why am I friends with these people? And that was the end of that.
Okay. Note to self, don't annoy Gabe or you'll get blocked.
No, no. You'll know way before we get to the blocking.
There are stages.
There are stages. But, like, I don't know. I think it's one of those holidays that, like, was manufactured. But, like, I am discovering that I am way more romantic than I thought I was.
Really?
Oh, my God. We haven't had this conversation yet. So, have you heard of Heated Rivalry?
Yeah,
must have heard.
Yes, this is the TV show to watch.
The TV show to watch right now. It just got released in Europe like last week, and it's taking the world by storm. People are obsessed. I fell victim to Heated Rivalry. I knew about it long before everybody else did because I follow kind of like the queer cinema trends, and it had been announced like in some of the Facebook groups I'm in that follow innovative kind of TV shows. And I had it on my phone as a reminder the day it came out on Crave. And I was hooked. It was immediate. I could not stop watching. I would wait until midnight on every night there was a new episode for the episode to be released, and I would binge it immediately. I would rewatch the entire season. I have rewatched the entire season. Oh God, I can't even tell you how many times.
Really?
At this point. Oh yes.
Dude, you still need to watch the rest of Gilded Age. And I'm waiting for you so we can talk about this.
I'll get to Bridgerton and Gilded Age after. Also, I bought it's a series that is based off of the Game Changer series that it was written by Rachel Reid, a Canadian born author from Nova Scotia. I bought all six books and I read them, all six, in, I think it's 9 days.
Oh, wow.
I could not stop reading. And I would read the books and then I would go back to the show and I would read the books again. And I am resisting with all of my might the urge to reread these books already. And I just finished them like the other day, like a week ago. The thing that hooked me was the romance.
Not the heated stuff that everybody all talks about.
And the thing, like, is, they talk about the heated stuff a lot because I think it's shocking for a lot of straight people to finally watch like two gay men have sex in a very honest way. It is depicted in the same way that sex scenes are depicted in straight movies and straight TV shows. So it's done in the same kind of earnestness and sincerity that I've never seen. And I've watched a lot of queer cinema and queer TV. I've never seen it depicted like this ever. It's a first. It feels very real. It feels, and you see the evolution of the characters, and I could talk about this. I could do a whole podcast about right. rivalry, and we'd be here till next week.
But the romance,
but the of, romance,
the is, building of the relationship,
it's what gets me. I just today at lunch, I was watching a YouTube video that was clips that were put together and being analyzed by some movie person from the show. And I cry at the clips.
Oh.
And I've seen these clips, like some of these clips, like the clip where Scott Hunter hoists the Stanley Cup over his head and then asks his boyfriend to come down from the stands, and he kisses him instead. Kisses. I don't care about, if you don't know about hidden rivalry at this point, screw your spoilers. It's your fault for not
having
watching
it.
The show.
Fair enough. It's been out long enough.
And I feel like if you haven't watched it at this point, like you don't care enough anyway. So it doesn't matter.
Tell us how you really feel.
No, so I don't care. So
this
Kip
poignant scene.
And there's this scene, and it's an epic scene, and it's very important to the whole plot between Ilya and Shane. And I can't stop myself. It gets me. I blubber like a fool. I was reading these books on the plane, and I would have to put the book down because I was crying in my freaking seat in the plane. And like, I mean, crying, like I need
like
get tissues.
One tear.
And I'm like, hard, like in the plane trying to get like all of this out of me. And it was just, and then I'd be like, all right, compose yourself. And then I'd see the flight attendant, because where I was sitting, the flight attendant had a clear view into my seat, and it just kind of looking, and she'd be looking at me like, and I've, and out of, I'm a reader, I read all the time. I've never had so many people ask me about these books out in public. I've read, I was at the, Caught My Haircut, the, well, you know, what do you call that person? Clip.
The
hairdresser. Oof, jeez, words are hard today. I had the hairdresser ask me about the book. My physiotherapist asked me about the book. I went for my STI screening. The nurse asked me about the book. Like every, hey. STI screen.
So are you like you have this book in hand and they're asking you about it? Okay. So it's not just like, hey, have you read it?
No.
So they know. Okay.
But I have had people ask me about it just generally, because in the gay community, it's become kind of a topic.
Yeah.
So, and I think I am affected by this series because it's showing romance in a way that like, I crave, and I did not know that I craved it. So that's why, and I think this year, St. Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day is hitting different even more than usual. Because like, I'm reminded of all of this, and I'm kind of, you know, still thinking about that guy that I broke up with 2 years ago. Like it's still there somehow. But yeah, so that's kind of like my Valentine's Day experience this year. So whatever, I mean, there's still what day is it today? There's still, okay, you got
10 days,
we got 9-ish days before Valentine's Day. So this comes out I think on Monday, so this means there'll be 5 days left before Valentine's Day. So like, I mean, seriously, bearbelief podcast@gmail.com. I will read your emails.
We would love to hear what your favorite Valentine's experience was. I would love to hear that.
Yes. What are your Valentine's Day experiences? What is it like for you? That would be great, actually.
So you talk about heated rivalry, and I haven't seen it yet. And part of me, so this is going to probably come out wrong, but I'm coming to a point, no matter what type, but I'm just tired of gratuitous sex scenes.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but that's how the show is being marketed.
It's
right. And so fair enough. And I remember sort of having that conversation, and I kind of was called something. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't care what kind, but I'm just so tired of the overtness of it all. And
you don't, by the way, you don't see anything.
Fair. Oh, okay. But again, the way it's marketed,
but that's the thing.
So it's so innuendo.
It's marketed in a way. So this, I'll give it this. I have never seen sex scenes so beautifully shot. They are they are done in a way that is very artful. The lighting is incredible. The way they use shadow and innuendo to let your,
so they're really storytelling in it.
More than that, you can see the sex evolve as their relationship evolves.
Oh, interesting.
The sex they're having in episode one
is not the same
they're having in episode six.
Very
and, you, and it's this the sex is kind of a plot point in itself. Like, it's not just there as a like, ooh, look, two gay guys having sex. It you really see the evolution of their relationship, not just through themselves and through the story, but through the sex as well. So it's, I think it's done in
right.
Crazy.
So on that is I just sort of binged Bridgerton, right? I am a fan. But again, like, so I was sort of like cringing because they like to get very overt with a lot of the things they do. And it's okay.
I don't think your rivalry is that different from Bridgerton
okay.
in terms of what you see and like the.
But again, I think it's just me. I'm like, okay, we don't need to see everything. Like, let us. But that's part of romance, right? Is the imagination, the creativity, the seduction of it all, right? And there's so mom, I can't remember mom's name, Lady Bridgerton, and she's sort of navigating after the death of her husband. Like, do I pursue this new relationship?
Oh, yeah, because she's dating that black guy.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful how that evolution happens, right? And that sort of the bashfulness, the shyness, the insecurity about her body, the like all the emotions like she's going through and how like. You know, a genuine gentleman he is because he's really just about her. And he's like, I'm ready when you are. But they say it so more eloquently than I am. But it was just beautiful to kind of finally see that moment where they do sort of consummate their relationship. Because, again, it wasn't just about, hey, let's just, you know, bump uglies. You know, it was and I think that's what we're missing in our media, you know, is the relationship development. And because it is, it's turning into that voyeurism, right? Like, let's just watch and sort of that shock media, like, of the 90s. But now, even though we have all these standards or, you know, the Canadian broadcasting, is, you know, what they all say, if you have a problem, call them. But we don't, you know, and sort of adhere to anything like that. Like,
well, the difference is that those standards only apply to broadcast media. And these shows are not broadcast.
Oh, okay.
They're streamed. So they play by.
But even on the TV show, like some of the like this on Stars. Oh, my gosh. There's not like.
But that's cable. Cable has a different set of rules as well. So.
But still, like anybody can look anytime. It like sex over love is in some ways super accessible. Right. Like if you want to watch porn, you can do that. If you want to go on like. Any sort of dating app.
Yeah.
Like you can get that.
Well, I could have got one 10 minutes ago if I really loved to.
You know, sorry to block you there, but no. But again, this pursuit of love and genuine love and not romantic love, yes. Romanticized love, like that sort of storybook love. That as a girl, like, no, this is what you want.
But it does. So those stories don't exist
anymore. I don't think so.
And this is one of the reasons they're saying why Heated Rivalry is getting such a, so much attention, because more than half the audience are straight white women or straight women and cis women. And they're saying a lot of the people who are in that genre of interest or genre of literature are saying that we're not getting those romantic shows anymore. Those romantic movies, they don't exist. Like, where are the pretty women's of the 2020s? Like, they don't exist.
No.
We don't have them anymore.
And it's really affecting our youth. You know, like, I'm hearing some of the stories that, like, cause I work with young sort of 15 to 22-year-olds and just the stories that they're coming up with and some of the friend stories I'm hearing through my daughter or whatnot, I'm just like, it's not about connection, no. Right? It's, and I get it as young, you know, we're discovering our bodies and our sexualities, our identity, and I get all that, you know? So there is that fun part of it, but we don't teach too much about, like, what do I really want in a partner? You know, like our youth have examples, you know, maybe our parents have a very healthy relationship. Or maybe they don't have a healthy relationship and you're like, I definitely don't want that. But then, like, what do statistics say? You're always going to marry one of your parents anyways type deal.
Oh, God, I'm going to stay single then.
But I guess it's the familiarity that you're with, you know, or, you know, like they do a lot of, you know, healthy relationship stuff, you know, like signs of abuse, controlling and relate, like that, like all the sort of cerebral stuff. But what is the heart stuff about
the kids are very educated on consent and like what their boundaries are and kind of those things. But I'm not sure that I know for a fact that we've commoditized a lot of the relationship things. It's a lot transactional. The dating apps have done it. The internet has done it. All of these instant messaging thingies, like they're all these.
It's all immediate gratification.
It's all immediate gratification. And the reality is that a relationship, it is the farthest thing from immediate gratification. If you're going to have a relationship, sure, there will be some gratification immediately, but it's a long-term thing. And
or you're playing algorithms too, right? Like you're playing a cyber game. Like I have one friend who's not on the typical like hookup app, is on like a relationship app, which or even friendship. I think there's some of those. Sorry, I'm totally out of date. But will swipe so many times instead of sort of being like, again, it's like a menu, you know, like this guy. But then because she realizes that the guys are playing a menu, so everybody's playing a number game. So it's like, again, it's not about authentic, like, okay, I see what you're writing there, or maybe this might resonate with me, or, you know, because people don't have time anymore to go to a bar. People don't even know how to act at a bar anymore, you know? So again, like, we have not just disconnected romantically, but interpersonally, you know, where it's so easy to just like go hook up later. And I'm not saying like, listen, I'm a prude.
We are not going to sex shame or say that people shouldn't be hooking up. But there is a line. I think there is a line. And I find it, especially in my community, it is so hard right now to find that connection.
Yeah.
To get people who, you know, want to go beyond that and who are not limited to the instant gratification.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the reasons why this show and this romance aspect has me like all up in my feels, because it's like I know I'm craving it. Like I just want it so bad. I want it way more than I want
that love, that connection, right?
Absolutely. I will forego a lot of sex if it means that I can
get that
connection. So maybe pivoting a little bit from that. I like that. That's a nice tangent. Hold on. I don't know what's happening today. So, how can we bring this to more of
like a spiritual con? Well, I think we're sort of talking about that in sort of the interpersonal connection and like, what is love? Like what, yeah. I don't know. What do you think it is? I'm always giving my definitions for it. You give me your definition.
The thing with love is like, I can't help it. I am a very kind of, you know, logical thinker. I approach things logically. And love, if I want to be cynical about it, it's a bunch of chemicals firing in your brain. You know?
The atheist.
No, but...
That rational...
And it's like, and this, even if I am in the process of falling in love, I will have that thought in my head that's just like, ugh.
Here's all my chemicals going.
The victim to the dopamine and the serotonin, you know?
Right. So how would you know, like, you're in love? Or how do you know you love somebody? Like, what does that love?
But it's one of those things. When you know, you know. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, I'd have a hard time describing what love is, but like, I know the people I love. I know what that feels like. And I definitely know when I'm falling in love with someone.
Okay. So in scripture, right, we have that famous Corinthians 13. It's at every wedding because everybody's like, oh, it's so romantic. But
I may have read it at a wedding or two.
You know, you probably have. So it reads, so these are the characteristics of love. Love is patient.
Oh, yes.
Is kind. Doesn't envy, doesn't boast, is not proud, does not dishonor others, is not self-seeking, is not easily angered, keeps no records of wrong, does not delight in evil, rejoices with the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails.
But you know what? That doesn't tell you what it is. It tells you what it does. So, which is kind of interesting.
Right. So, So the one that always pops out with me is keeps no records of wrongs, right? So it goes like to forgiveness. You know, how easily do we forgive our loved one? Like, I can't remember kind of dating a guy and he's like, well, saying I love you doesn't mean I have to say, or we don't have to say we're sorry. Bite me. You know, no, you did something, recognize like that.
If I've ever heard of.
Right? And it's like, no, I don't really believe that. But yeah, there's a lot of forgiveness in relationships. But like, you know, and some people have that sort of tally board. Right. Well, you've done 10 things wrong to me and I don't like it. And this is a toxic relationship. Well, hold on. We're people and we're learning to be in relationship. So it doesn't mean you have to not forget, because, again, you have to like understand your environment, because maybe it is an unhealthy relationship.
Yeah. And I think it's knowing the difference.
Right.
You know, from what is an event that you learn from and move on and grow, or what, and what is an event that's truly toxic and you need to get away from. You know? And sometimes people, I can think of, and I think he would agree. So my ex, the first like real long-term relationship where we actually moved in with each other, this guy and I, we were not good for each other. I had behaviors with this guy that seriously I questioned. Like, I don't understand how this came out of me. And we're friends now, so we've talked about it, like, you know.
Okay. 15 years. Little closure happening.
Yeah. There, we needed a lot of closure. And he said the same thing. He's like, we don't recognize the people that we were as people together. It didn't make sense. We brought out of each other things that we didn't even know were there. So, you know, fast forward like 25 years, him and I were actually friends now, and like decent friends. And we can talk about things because we kind of understand each other a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it, and I guess we would say that love has changed. It's not the same. I don't love him the same way that I did 25 years ago when we were together. And I think that's okay, you know. And it ended up in the long term. Like, I think it's a good thing. Like, he's a good friend
for sure. But I think there's a lot of expectations versus love, right? You know, is it conditions on love? Because, I mean, a lot of religions talk about how the holy other, the God, is unconditional love. Like, so no matter what, God's always going to love. But yet human love is more like the pros and cons and stuff like that.
I think unconditional love is interesting. It's a concept. Like, I can understand the concept, but like, really unconditional? Like, how do you, like, there has to be limits, right? Like, if you're going to give unconditional love to somebody who's like, I don't know, a serial killer, or like where, what's the limit? Is that really a thing? Are we really going to go that far? I don't know. Not me. No, I'm not that.
But then the question comes, like, is it God's unconditional love, or are we turning away from a healthy, loving relationship, right? So if I'm choosing to hurt myself or to be in an unhealthy lifestyle of any sorts, I'm not talking relationship, but, you know, in ways that is hurting me, you know, or choosing unhealthy relationships, is that God saying, no, I don't love you because you're doing all those things? Or is it saying, I'm here whenever you're ready to kind of be,
I think
in this space again.
If you're taking a religious perspective, then I think the point would be that, like, God is giving you this love. You're choosing to ignore it, or you're choosing to not follow it. That'd be kind of be my understanding. And I remember having a discussion about this when I was a teenager with my mom, where we had this discussion where her point of view was that you can choose to love someone.
Mm.
And I remember, and she would argue, she was definitely arguing the pro, and I was arguing the con, because I don't know if I can truly, really choose to love someone. Like, if there's someone in front of me who is, you know, so vile or despicable, and like, I can't love this person. How do I love this person? you know? And I know that, like, from certain religion, certain perspectives, you're supposed to. Well, not me. Like, I can't just, like, love randomly some despicable person or some person who's, like, and this was in the context we were talking about, in the context of family and how these things go. And I'd be like, no, I can't just pick a partner and decide I'm going to love them. That's not how that works.
No, I agree too. You know, I had a friend who, a teammate who was killed by her partner.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And like, I remember a colleague of mine works in prison ministry, and it's all about restorative justice and sort of bringing healing on you know, both parts. But I'm like, I don't care what you say. I'm not going to ever forgive that guy.
Of course. How could you?
You know, and he's like, well, it's about, and I'm like, no, stop. You know, I believe that everybody can kind of learn and in some ways redeem themselves. Like, but if people really have no learning on this, like, this person still says that, no, it was her fault. Like, she ruined my life. Now look at where I am because this person ruined my life. Yeah. So
Obi is rotting in jail.
He's still, but it's getting close, and we don't need to get into all the, like, I don't want to get us on a tangent. But again, like, where's that line of expectation and just loving? So as a female, you know, there's all these sort of messaging of, you know, stand by your, I guess, partner, or stand by your man. Like, it's okay. They don't really mean it. Or, you know, if I love them enough, they're going to change. You know, and I remember one of my first relationships, it was on and off for a year and a half. And it took me so much to just not, like, engage in that. So we'd be together, but we weren't together. But we were together until he wanted to be with somebody else. But then we really weren't together. But then he'd see me with somebody else. But then that person would be gone, and then we'd be back together. So this was that sort of weird cycle. And it was funny. So it had been just around the time I met Pat, and this dude came out of the closet again. Not that closet, but, you know, he came out from the woodworks.
Oh, okay. Like, what?
I'm gay now. No.
The gay closet.
No, that's why I'm like, no. Like, you know, the skeleton in the closet, right? Like that phrase. So he comes out of the woodwork, and we see each other at the common bar. And he's like, hey, let's get together for supper and let's just talk. And I was like, great. And he had just split up with this girl that he was with and singing the sad song. And he's like, you know, we really would go good together. He goes, but you freaked me out. And I'm like, well, how did I freak you out? He goes, you were doing my dishes. I'm like, dude, I was there for 5 days. You paid for all the meals. You were driving everywhere. I could just, like, I was up early. I just did some. Oh, no, that was too much. And I go, exactly. You weren't ready for what I had to offer. So this wasn't about me, even though it was about me, but it was about you, you know? And, but then, like, looking back on my younger self, I was like, girl, like if I flew back in time, I'd kick myself in the head. Like, this guy had just gotten out, like, broken up with his fiance. The fiance was pregnant, but chose not to be, but didn't tell him until after things. So that kind of messed them all up, right? So again, can you love somebody who is in a space to sort of be loved, right?
I think it depends on, again, there's different kinds of love. And you can choose, I think.
You can choose to be open to a love. Like, you cannot love without receiving that. Like, it has to, like, for me, it has to be, like, right? Because then it's not. Then it's just conditions. It's this, it's that. And yeah, I had to learn how to love. And I think, you know, like, I was young, and I remember because my dad had cheated on my mom. I was like, I'm going to sleep with so many people so that I'm not going to be boring in bed. And so that no one, I had this idea, right? Like, I wanted to know it all.
Not at all.
You know, because for me, like, no, it wasn't about all the other emotional connections. It was because he found some other woman, like, it was a sexual thing. Again, naivete. And as I said, my ordination was protested because I was living with Pat at the time, right? We weren't married. no way could I have not done that journey. Couldn't I have done the journey in that way? Like, to just be on my own, then married to somebody? For me, marriage was an unhealthy institution. So why am I going to do this?
Because it can be.
Right?
And for some people, it definitely is.
And there was a part, like, I'm like, wait, marriage is all about property, you know? Like women had to be married so for survival. And I
literally had to give the bride's family a bunch of stuff to get the woman.
Like, to get, right? It was a transactional thing. So it was this weird institution that we've romanticized, but it's like all these different things. So again, like in scripture, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. That's not because it's immoral and you shouldn't love somebody else.
It's your neighbor's
property.
There's nothing. If it was a morality thing, it would also be about the husband and about.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's property.
So I think
a lot of those Old Testament things comes from legal scripts more than spiritual stuff. So.
Right. And how we need to operate with one another. So not to cause fights and battles and all these things. But that's to say that. Like, so Pat and I are 24, so I'm 40 some odd years now. So yeah, like over 25, almost 25 years we've been together. The love has changed. It's grown. Sometimes, I mean, there was a period that like, yeah, I didn't like him so much at all. And
but I think that's normal, right?
It is normal.
Everybody goes through that. I know.
Exactly.
It was the same with my ex, like over the 10 years, like it ebbs and flows. Like it really does.
Exactly. But I think that's where the commitment is like, okay, this isn't good now. Am I going to put up with this? Or do I see a light at the end where we can, like, I think it's like one of those trees that has like the many different sort of vines, like parts of it, like, but you see it distinctly and you'll see that one kind of grow off like this because we're going to change. And so that doesn't mean we stay the same people, but sometimes we need a little space to figure it out to then come back together.
And I think sometimes, even if eventually the relationship ends, it's not necessarily a failure. I know if you want to be in a relationship with someone that will give both people the chance to grow. And sometimes that growth is in different directions.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot prevent that growth because then that's toxic anyway and you need to end it. So.
But then people feel they've wasted that time.
No, I don't think so.
Right?
We've been brainwashed into thinking that the end of a relationship means that it's been a failure. And I don't think that's always the case.
No.
A lot of times they were what they were supposed to be when they were, and everybody moves on. And if you can stick the dismount, if I can use an
Oh, that's lovely.
an Olympic reference. If you can stick the dismount, everybody should be better off after.
Mm-hmm.
Not worse off.
But that comes in the integrity of actually on how we can break up as well.
Absolutely.
You know, like I had a friend, I got so mad. We had gone out and all of a sudden, like he's like, you're going to get a phone call. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm going to get a phone call. And then the phone rang and he's like, there it is. Well, he decided to break up with a friend of mine on her answering machine. Like this was before sort of text was like, you didn't have to pay for text, right?
Dating yourself if you're
talking. Right. And I'm like, dude, like. She was out of town and you left it on your answering machine. Well, she left her toothbrush and I freaked out, man. And I'm like, be a man. Like, just be a solid person. And it doesn't matter, like, you know, any kind of relationship. Just, you know what? This isn't working for me. If people are making decisions, they're making decisions based on themselves. And sure, there might be something that doesn't fit.
You know, it's rarely about you.
It's like, never about you. Well, like,
I was on a date recently with a guy and... nice guy, very attractive, but like, it's I can't really tell you anything bad about him.
But it just wasn't there.
It's not there, and so that's not him. Is it me? Nah, maybe. But like, you can't feel bad about these things.
No, but this whole thing of everybody ghosting each other now, and even in friendships, is like you just don't hear that. I'm sorry, grow up.
So you heard it here, folks. No more ghosting.
No more ghosting. What's the opposite of a ghost? I don't know. Be real.
An apparition.
No, that's still not quite there. No, just, and it's hard. It's hard to, like, if you're going to share your person, your body, your soul, like, if you're getting that deep with somebody, and I, you know, you can at least have a conversation.
Use your words, folks.
Use your words.
Use your words.
Yeah.
All right. So I think we've done it.
Cool.
So thank you, everyone, for listening to us. This was episode 7 of Bear Belief. You can find us at bearbelief.ca. That is our website. You can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. Also, just search for Bear Belief. We'll pop right up. And you can email us, bearbeliefpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, Jessica, for sharing this with me today.
Thank you, G-Dog. It was awesome.
Thank you. And see you all in 2 weeks.